Okay. Praise the Lord for that song, that first stanza. Gentle Mary laid her child lowly in a manger. There he lay, the undefiled. To the world a stranger, such a babe in such a place, can he be the Savior? Ask the saved of every race who have found his favor. Wow, those are beautiful, beautiful words there. I am so glad to finally get a chance to preach to you folks. Been home a long time now and have been gone most Sundays. I'm glad to be able to finally get an opportunity now that all the other preachers are gone. And I'm the only one here, so I get to preach. So praise the Lord for my opportunity. And I hope to be a blessing to you this morning. I'm not up here to preach, just to preach. We need God's grace. This is the Christmas season. We need to focus on the realities of the gospel and of Christmas together. And I hope that's why you're here. I hope that you've been encouraged and strengthened by God's grace already, just by talking to each other, by being with God's people, and by singing and praying. And may that continue through the ministry of the Word. So let's pray together before we begin. Father, we praise you for salvation through Jesus Christ. We thank you for all of these awesome, wonderful truths communicated through these hymns, through these songs. Lord, I pray now as we come together around your Word, that your Holy Spirit would enlighten us, enlighten our understanding, that you would increase our understanding, that you would give us a greater love for God, for you, for Jesus Christ, for Christmas, for the gospel. I pray that you would renew hearts. And I pray that if there be one that does not understand in their soul the meaning of Christmas today, that today would be the day where they would understand and rejoice. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Many of us like a good mystery story, and the book publishers make a lot of money off of that fact, that we like good mysteries. We like page turners and nail biters. And these kind of stories sell. And there are some authors that are really good at crafting stories where as you're reading along, you just never know what's coming. And so it keeps you reading all the way to the end of the book. And you end up reading a lot more at one sitting than you plan to. Brother Pat Wisnant suggested that my wife and I read the book Unbroken. It's a story by Laura Hillenbrand about Louis Zamperini, an Olympic runner who went off to World War II as a bombardier, and his plane crashed and he became a prisoner of war by the Japanese. And that story, as we read it, both my wife and I, it was one of those page turners. You never knew what was going to happen in a story. You're reading along and you think to yourself, surely the end of the story is about, it's about at the end now. And you look at the rest of the book and you realize, wow, there's still 85 pages left. What could possibly come next? And you keep reading and it's just that way all throughout the book. That's a good book. That's fun. And we like books like that. But the Bible tells us that the Word of God itself is a mystery. That the gospel of Jesus Christ is a mystery. And it is the most interesting and awesome mystery that you could ever read. And the Bible itself is a page turner and is a nail biter. And if you read from Genesis, beginning Genesis 1, and read through the book of Revelation, you really don't know what's going to happen in that book until you get to the end. But by God's grace, so many of us have heard so much scripture, we know the Word of God, and so we know what happens in the book when we read it. But it is a mystery. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1, it tells us, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ, and stewards of the mysteries of God. Paul says that preachers of the gospel are stewards of God's mysteries. Preachers of the gospel are stewards of the mysteries of God. God has put into the care of his people. He has put into the care of preachers and teachers of the Word of God the responsibility of proclaiming and explaining and guarding the mysteries of God. What we call the gospel, what we call the good news of Jesus Christ is referred to numerous times in the New Testament as a mystery. Now, why is it called a mystery? This book The Bible is the greatest mystery story that could ever be known and ever be read by mankind. This Bible is one story. It's the mystery of God. And what we celebrate on Christmas Day, the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem, it is the unfolding of the mystery of God. We know God and we understand His mystery through Jesus Christ, the one born in Bethlehem. The mysteries of God are revealed in Him. And when you see pictures and sculptures and paintings and movies depicting that little babe lying in the manger, we see him surrounded by Mary and Joseph and the shepherds. And why is this so important? Why is it so amazing? Why would Christians choose to create a festival, a feast day, a holiday, and call it Christmas around this event? It is because this event, Christmas, the birth of Jesus Christ, is the beginning of the unraveling of a mystery that began in Genesis chapter 1 in verse 1. So what I want to talk with you about this morning is why the gospel is called the mystery of Christ, or the mystery of Christmas. This mystery of Christmas, the mystery of Christ, begins in Genesis. We open up our Bibles, we see in Genesis chapter 1:1, verse 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And you immediately realize that God, the eternal God, who has always been, who is all powerful, who is spirit, who needs nothing, who holds everything together by himself, speaks forth creation by the word of his power. And just by the speaking of his word, he brings everything in the universe, everything on the earth into existence. And we read Genesis chapter 1 and we're amazed at how it could be that a person, God, could do this. And that he could do it right the first time and make everything perfect. Working together with all the laws of nature. All of these things, beautiful and wonderful and perfect, just the way he wanted them to be. And then we read in Genesis that he created man as the capstone of everything that he had made. And he made mankind in his image. He placed the image of God in him. He gave man the ability to know God and have a relationship with him. The ability to think and to reason and to make decisions. To be able to choose between right and wrong. He made him in some ways like himself. And he made mankind to be the greatest of all of his wonders that he created on the earth. And he set man over the earth to take care of what he has made. And he created man to love him and to know him and to serve him and to care for this earth that he had created. What an amazing beginning. You see how God created man and he formed him out of dust, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life and gave his life to man, and man became a living being. And you see how Eve was created from the rib of Adam. All of these wonders, all of these amazing things, how God would come down and speak to Adam and Eve in a special personal presence that they could see and hear every day. And we read in Genesis chapter 3 about those two trees, the tree of life that God made for them to eat. That was symbolic of their relationship with God and their having eternal life. And you read about that other tree, the knowledge of good and evil, which God commanded them not to eat of it, because if they ate of it, they would surely die. It was the test to know whether they would fulfill the purpose that God had created for them. It was the test to see whether or not they would love God and they would be grateful to Him and serve Him. God gave them the ability to choose. And most of us know what happens in that story. Eve chose first, and then Adam, right after her, decided to not believe in God's love and goodness towards them. And they took of that fruit and ate of it, even against the command of God. And the source of all suffering And death in this world is that very moment when Adam and Eve decided against the command of God to not believe His goodness and love for them. Death began. Illness, limitations, fighting in the home, husbands against wives. All of the things that we call suffering and pain and misery that are in this world today, they began with Adam and Eve. And lest any of us want to point fingers at them and blame them, we are just as guilty as Adam and Eve ourselves in sinning against God. And we deserve all of the pain and suffering that is in this world as well. But praise God, when you read Genesis chapter 3, right away when God addresses Adam and Eve and tells them that they are cursed, He immediately tells them that He's going to send a deliverer. And right there at the beginning in Genesis chapter 3, God tells Eve, one of your seed is going to crush the head of the serpent, Satan. And we have the first prophecy of the Savior that is to come. So God's love and God's patience with mankind is seen right when man falls into sin. And then we continue reading. We wonder what's going to happen now. Sin and death are brought into the world. And you read Genesis chapter 4 and you read about Adam and Eve's two sons, Cain and Abel. And Cain is the firstborn. And what does Cain do? We find that the first human being born of parents on the earth is a what? He's a murderer. And he kills his brother Abel out of jealousy. And Abel's blood cries out from the ground to God. As you continue to read in Genesis chapter 4 and Genesis chapter 5, you begin to realize, wow, sin and rebellion against God have really taken hold. And you're shocked at just how desperately wicked mankind becomes. And you come to Genesis chapter 6, and God is so weary with the world that He had created because mankind's sin was so great, especially the sins of violence. And God's hatred for this sin is great. And God says it's time to judge the earth. And He sends forth a great flood to destroy mankind. After He was patient with them for hundreds and hundreds of years. But God saved Noah and his family because Noah's family was the last believing family on earth. You wonder now what's going to happen to mankind. There's so much sin and evil, so much death, and God had to destroy it with a flood. What's going to happen now? And then you keep reading. And so Noah's family, they get off the ark and they began to have children and the generations pass. God commands them to spread across all the earth and to fill the earth that God made and to govern it. But what do? They say, no, we're going to all live together and we're going to create a great city and we're going to defy God together. And God had already promised that He was not going to destroy the earth with a flood again. He had already set the rainbow as His sign. And so what does He do? He decides to confuse the languages of the people of the earth in order to force them to go and live across the earth, which is why we have so many languages in the world today, because God forced mankind to obey Him and live across the earth at the Tower of Babel, Genesis chapter 11. So then you see mankind rebelling again. What's going to happen in this story? How is God going to bring a deliverer? What's going to happen here? How can God restore mankind when man is so messed up? Then you come to Genesis chapter 12 and God calls Abraham and says, Abram, I wanted you to get out of your country and go to a land that I have promised you. And I'm going to make from your seed a great nation. And all of the people of the earth are going to be blessed through your seed. And we see another promise of the deliverer that is to come through the seed of Abraham. And so now we know more of what is going to happen. And so all of this time, believers knew almost nothing about this Savior, about this deliverer that's going to come. But now they know He's going to come through the seed of Abraham. And then as you continue to read through the book of Genesis, you see Jacob, Isaac, and all of the sons of Jacob. And you realize, wow, these men, some of them have great faith, but they're all still what? They're all still sinners. And it's amazing how the Holy Spirit makes a point out of pointing out to us about all of these men of faith that they were yet sinners. What is God doing, you might ask, when you get to the end of Genesis? We have so few details. Thousands of years of human history have already passed when you get to the end of the book of Genesis. The mystery of Christmas continues from Exodus all the way to Malachi as you begin to read about the people of Israel and how God delivers them in the Exodus and how He delivers them from the wilderness and how He brings them into that land of promise called Canaan. And as you begin to read about the history of Israel, you begin to realize these people are so full of unbelief. There's so much sin. There's so much sorrow. There's so much pain. You read about great men of God that fall into sin. And what do you find yourself thinking and feeling when you read the Old Testament? It's all these records of sin and failure, right? Over and over again, the kings sinning and leading Israel astray. But in the midst of all of that failure and sin and rebellion, God makes a promise to King David that from his seed a royal line will be established and that the Savior is going to be born from his seed. And we have another promise at the time of King David. And then as the prophets begin to have their ministry throughout the rest of the Old Testament history, the prophets begin to fill us in with a bunch more information about this Christ. This Messiah that's going to come. What is He going to do? And you begin to read how He's going to save Israel as a nation. And He's going to defeat their enemies. How He's going to bring salvation to the Gentiles, to the nations who are not Israel. You see how He's going to bring justice and righteousness to the earth. He's going to destroy the wicked. He's going to judge the wicked. He's going to put down the oppressors. And you read all of these prophecies. And Old Testament believers, they longed for this Messiah to come. They wanted to see this happen with their eyes. But they didn't understand remotely what was going to happen like we understand what did happen because we are on this side of the birth of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1 tells us concerning the prophets. It says, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace of God that should come unto you. They were searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that should follow. They were searching these things out. They wanted to understand what all of this meant, but they did not understand. Unto whom it was revealed, 1 Peter 1:12 says, that not unto themselves, but unto us did they minister these things. They weren't going to see the fulfillment of these prophecies that they wrote down. No, these prophecies were for someone else. They were for us who would see the Messiah come. But unto us, it says, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Which things the angels desire to look into. The prophets longed to understand these things. They wanted to see it. The angels themselves did not know what was going to happen. At the end of the Old Testament, when the prophets ceased, and there was that great 400-year silence between the old and the new, no one knew what the next thing was going to take place. No one knew what was going to happen. They had the Old Testament prophecies, but those prophecies were incomplete. It was a great mystery as to how this was going to unfold. And then things did not happen like they expected them to. The mystery of Christmas was revealed through Jesus. The angel Gabriel, he comes three times. Who does he appear to? First, he appears to Zechariah and he prophesies that Elizabeth is going to have that baby in her old age. And that baby is going to be John the Baptist, who declares the way of the Savior who is to come. Gabriel comes to Mary and says, even though you are a young virgin, God is going to do a great miracle in you, and His Holy Spirit's going to do something in you. It's going to cause you to have the Savior in your womb as just a young woman. Gabriel goes to Joseph and comforts him. No, your wife to be Mary was not unfaithful. A great miracle has come upon her. God has chosen her to bear the Savior. Be of comfort and take care of Mary. And so He does. Later, the wise men that we all know about come from the east to worship Jesus. The shepherds all came, heard the angels singing and declaring who He was. When John the Baptist saw Jesus, he cried out, "Here's the Lamb of God which takes away the sins of the world." And John prepared the people of Israel to receive the ministry of Jesus. Then for 3.5 years, Jesus preaches and performs miracles. And all of the Old Testament saints, all of the believers in God who were alive in the day of Jesus, they were all watching Jesus and waiting for Him to fulfill the promises of the Old Testament. His disciples who knew the Old Testament are all watching Jesus, and they're waiting for Him to do what the Old Testament prophecy said He would do. But He did not fulfill their expectations. Do you realize that? The expectations of all of the believers who are waiting for the Messiah, Jesus did not fulfill their expectations. They were thinking that when the Messiah came, He would immediately, with great power and glory, would establish His kingdom from Jerusalem. He would immediately take down the occupation army. He would immediately bring judgment to the nations and establish peace and justice and righteousness across the earth. And they were all watching and waiting for Jesus to do that. And He didn't. And then of all things, the one they set their hopes on was crucified on a cross. And it was not until after He was crucified and 3 days later risen again, not until then did they understand that this was all according to the plan of God, because the gospel of Jesus Christ is a mystery that was not revealed until Jesus came. What is this mystery then that is revealed by God through Jesus Christ? Well, there are at least 5 ways that this mystery is revealed. Number one, it was revealed that the Messiah would not come at first in great glory to take up His kingdom as everyone expected, but rather He came to suffer. Now you say, well, shouldn't they have known that the Messiah was going to suffer? Well, most people had no idea what some of those references in the Old Testament meant about the Messiah suffering. We have Isaiah 53. They had reinterpreted that. Most people had no idea that that meant that the Messiah would come to suffer and die. They didn't comprehend that. Maybe some of them read those prophecies and wondered how it was going to work out. But they thought it was all going to happen at one time. They thought Jesus was going to reign on the earth and establish His kingdom and make all the nations subject to Him right when He came. And Jesus did not do that, because the mystery of the gospel and the mystery of the Christ is that the Christ, the Messiah, would have to come 2 times. The first time He would come to deal with the sins of mankind out of His love and mercy. And so we come to the greatest Christmas verse in the Bible, which is see people holding up at NBA basketball games behind the hoop, especially during the playoffs, right? And what's that reference? John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son to die, that whoever would believe in Him would not perish but have everlasting life." That Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, that he would bear the sins of mankind and have to suffer great humility and shame and die and then rise again 3 days later and then disappear back to heaven? This was not what people were expecting. This is the mystery of the Christ. This is the mystery that was revealed when the Messiah came. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The first time Jesus came, the Messiah came, it was to come to deliver us from our sins. This is the revelation of a mystery. Secondly, it was revealed that Jesus, the Messiah, was God the Son who became a man. He revealed the truth of the Trinity to mankind. Do you realize that Old Testament saints did not understand the Trinity? They didn't understand that there was only one God, but he was in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. This was revealed through Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, when he became a man. No one knew that the Creator of the universe, the Son of God, was going to be the Messiah. They didn't know that he was going to be God himself. The mystery was revealed through Jesus that there is one God, but he is in three persons, and that the Messiah would be the Son of God, the second member of the Trinity. And so you come to John chapter 10 and verse 30 to 33, and Jesus tells the crowd, "I and my Father are one." Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him, and Jesus answered them, "Many good works have I shown you from my Father. For which of these do ye stone me?" And the Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because thou, being a man, makest thyself to be" who? God. The mystery of the Christ, the mystery of Christmas, is that the Messiah, that promised Savior, is not just a great man or a great prophet, but God himself who became a man. This was revealed through Jesus and in Jesus. Third, it was revealed that Jesus, the Christ, would come again a second time to judge and to establish his reign upon the earth. That the Messiah would come a second time, and that all of the remaining prophecies that are yet to be fulfilled in the Scriptures, they will be fulfilled by him when he comes that second time. The mystery of the Christ. He will come twice. We celebrate the first coming of the Messiah on Christmas Day. But all of us who know Jesus Christ as our Savior this morning, when we look at pictures of the babe lying in the manger, we're not just thinking of the one time Jesus came. We're thinking of the second time he's going to come, when he is going to set up that kingdom that he promised he would set up, when he will come as the God-man from heaven, and he will literally come to the earth and will reign in righteousness and justice over the earth from Jerusalem. When he will save Israel in one day, just as he said he would. These things were a mystery that were revealed through Jesus when he came. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 28 says, "So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time, not about sin, but about salvation." The first time he came to deal with our sins. The second time he comes to give us our full salvation and to give us everything that he promised at that second coming. Fourth, it was revealed that before Jesus comes again to judge and reign, there will be a special age of grace and mercy to all the peoples of the earth. This was not foreseen and understood by those waiting for the Messiah. They did not know that there would be this great age in between. They didn't know that Jesus would come, that the Messiah would come twice. Nor did they know there would be this great time period in between. And what is God doing in that great time period in between? God is calling all men everywhere to repent. Jesus is calling upon you and every person in Schaumburg, Illinois, to believe on Jesus Christ. This message of salvation is being proclaimed and heralded all around the earth so that every tongue, people, tribe, and nation can hear this message. This is the age of mercy, the age of grace, and God is saving people to Himself and building His church throughout all the earth. This age is a mystery. This is the day of grace to the nations. In Ephesians chapter 3, if you want to turn there, Ephesians chapter 3 at the end of verse 4, Paul uses the words, the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of this promise in Christ by the gospel. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power. Unto me, who am the least of all the saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship or purpose of this ministry, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah. These things were hidden in God from the creation of the world. No one knew that God was going to do this. This was hidden from mankind until Jesus came and died and rose again. And He told His disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And He calls all men everywhere to repent right now. This mystery has been revealed through Jesus. The last thing I'd like to share with you this morning about this revelation is that it was revealed that Jesus, the Messiah, would live and dwell in His people. In the Old Testament, we have the city of Jerusalem and God's special presence dwelling where? Dwelling in the temple in Jerusalem. And now, in this age of grace, through Jesus Christ, we believe on Him for salvation and He forgives us of our sins. He just doesn't wipe away the guilt of our sins. He comes to live in us. His special presence, His Holy Spirit, takes up residence in us and gives us new life and begins to work out His salvation in us from the inside out. He lives in us. In Colossians chapter 1, you might want to look at that with me. In Colossians chapter 1, we read about this. This was unforeseen in the Old Testament. People expected the Messiah to come in great glory and reign from Jerusalem and for there to be a temple there. But God had a greater plan. His temple would be over all the earth and in all of His people everywhere. Praise the Lord. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 25, it says, whereof I am made a minister, Paul says, according to the dispensation or the stewardship of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Hey, I preach the gospel, Paul says. This is my stewardship from God. I am obeying. I am being faithful to the stewardship I've been given. I am fulfilling the very words of God by preaching the gospel to you. Verse 26, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest or revealed to His saints. The mystery has been unraveled. It's been unpackaged. It's been explained in Jesus, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles or the nations, which is Christ, what? In you, the Messiah, the Savior who is promised to come, is in you. And not only is He just in you, but He's in you Gentiles. Do we have any people in here that are Jewish? Would you raise your hand? I see one. We have more. Am I missing a couple? We have at least one person in here who's Jewish. It was unforeseen that so many Gentiles would come to God and that the Messiah would live in them. Christ lives in me. He lives in you. This is the mystery of Christmas. So when you're looking at someone's display out in front of their house and you see the babe lying there, or you see a play, or you look at that Christmas card or that plaque on your wall, and you're thinking about what Christmas means, don't just think about forgiveness of sins alone. Think about how that babe in the manger unraveled great mysteries about what God is going to do in this world. And think about the awesomeness of the riches that we have in Jesus Christ that He made known to us when He came. There are so many things that we know and understand that Old Testament believers never could possibly have understood outside of God telling it to them. God has told us. He has made these things known to us through Jesus. So what will you do with this privileged information? Will you refuse to listen and harden your heart against this news of what the Savior has done? Will you despise it as being not so important to you? Or will you receive it and believe it and receive forgiveness of sins? Will you receive His life? Will you allow Jesus to forgive you so that He can live in you and give you His life? He will not live in you, the Savior, until you've been saved. You must be saved for the Savior to live in you. If you do not know what it means to be forgiven, if you do not know what it's like to have Christ living in you, you need to receive Christ. You need to repent, which means you turn from your old thoughts and your old ways of looking at God, and you believe what the Bible says about Jesus Christ, and you receive forgiveness of sins with a desire to follow Christ. So the mystery of Christ has been revealed to you today. Unless you humble yourself and believe this word of God, you will remain in ignorance of the wonderful riches of God's grace that have been revealed by this mystery. And you will die in your sins. And this does not have to be. Believers, rejoice that this mystery has been revealed to you. God has opened your eyes to this. Rejoice in that. Deepen your understanding of this mystery and appreciate what God has done through the coming of His Son. Allow yourself to be used of God to explain this mystery to your family members and your friends over this holiday season. Got a few days before Christmas. A lot of you are going to be having people over at your home. Family members, friends, loved ones. Obviously, you don't want to shove religion at people or make them not want to be around, obviously. But all of us should be greatly desiring and asking God for opportunity, divine appointments with our family members and our friends, that we can explain this mystery to them, that God might open up their minds and their hearts, that they may be able to have the Messiah in them like He is in you. Let's not waste our opportunities during the Christmas season and the new year. Let's ask God to work through us and in us, whether we are able to speak or not, that will be good testimonies for Jesus Christ. Praise God for this truth. Praise God. Let's pray. Oh God, we are so humbled by this truth. Lord, who are we to know the Savior? Who are we to have Christ living in us? Lord, even preaching this message and mentioning Christ living in me, Lord, the knowledge that I am unworthy to have Christ in me. Lord, you have given us so much knowledge about what you have done and are doing in this world through your scriptures, through Jesus. Help us, Lord, to live out our salvation. I pray, Lord, that you would help your people. Bless your people that are waiting and looking for opportunities to unravel the mysteries of Christ to others. Quicken our minds. Give us words to say. Help us to live out our faith so that others may see it and believe. Give us, Lord, a fresh understanding of the babe in the manger. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.